If it's true that Eric and many of you are on opposite sides of the world, that pretty much means that those of us who are here with me are sort of in the center of the world, and we kind of like it here.
但是像 Eric 还有其他的在中国的弟兄姐妹啊，离我们是在大洋彼岸呢、啊。那我们在温哥华这里呢，感觉就是像在世界的中心一样，我们挺享受这种感觉的。
And we're delighted to be able to be with you all. The old hymn says we come from east and west, together to meet, and, we're together this evening from many parts, but we're all one if we love the Lord Jesus Christ.
嗯，就像一首古老的圣诗唱过的啊，就是我们从东从西啊，从各方向来聚在一起。所以我们只要是爱主的，我们不管是从哪里来呢，我们都在这里合为一了。
So、let's take a minute or two to pray, and then Trevor will speak to us.
嗯，我们先花一两分钟祷告，然后 Trevor 就会给我们讲课了。
Lord, we want to thank you.For the universality of the church.
主，我们感谢您，感谢这个教会的普世性。
We're all one from many, many parts of the world, but we have our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of him, we are all one family in him.
虽然我们是从世界各地来的，但是我们在主里是合一的，都是因为他，我们是联合在一起，成为一体。
So we give thanks now for your kindness in drawing us together at this point in time.
主，我们感谢你在这个时候能够因着你的良善、你的恩慈，把我们召聚在一起。
And we pray that you will bless us as we listen to the exposition of the Word of God.
主啊，求您祝福我们，当我们听Trevor 替我们讲解圣经的时候。
Help Trevor to say what should be said by the Spirit of God.
主啊，帮助 Trevor 说圣灵要让他说的话。
Help us to listen, to understand, and to obey the truth of God as he ministers it to us.
也求您让我们能够明白，也能够顺服他向我们所传讲的真理。
And we give thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.
我们这样的感恩是奉耶稣的名。Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good evening, everyone.
好，大家晚上好啊！大家可以把它调成发言人的那个页面。
It's nice to be with you this evening again.
很高兴今天晚上又跟大家在一起。
And like Eric and Harold, we send our prayers to the Lord on your behalf.
所以我也像 Eric 和 Harold 一样，我也在主的面前为大家献上祷告。
You have a big field to share the Bible with.
因为我们有很大的一片合场能够你们有很大的一片工作的合场能够分享圣经。
And you can do that without the restrictions of Zoom.
所以你不用在 Zoom 上，因为你不用受这个限制啊，就可以在中国这片大地上分享圣经。
Last time we were taking a look at learning the context of a story to help us to get the right interpretation of the story.
上星期呢，我们学的是从这个故事的上下文的关系中呢，能够更好的能够解读这个故事的含义。
Because if we don't understand the background information, we could get confused and we could get a strange interpretation of a particular piece of scripture.
因为你不是从那个大的上下文这种背景去理解呢，你可能会迷惑，或者呢，甚至是得出一些错误的对这经文的解读来。
So last week we were looking at the story of two brothers named Cain and Abel.
那上个星期呢，我们讲了两个兄弟的之间的故事啊，就是该隐和亚伯。
And one more brother right at the end whose name was Seth.
另外还有他们的另外一个兄弟，第三个兄弟就是叫赛特的。
And we were discovering all the wonderful ways that God, puts it in context so that we can understand it better.
那我们查考了关于这个故事呢，所有的跟它相关的这个经文、上下文的这个背景，帮助我们更好的明白这个故事。
And we'd like to look at one more example this evening.
那今天晚上呢，我们再来看一个例子。
We'd like to think of about a man named Joseph.
那我们今天要学的这个例子，这个人呢叫约瑟。
And that we find in Genesis chapter, the story we're going to read is in Genesis 39 this evening.
那他这个故事呢是在创世纪的39章。
We want to see where Genesis 39 is in the middle of the story about Joseph.
这个39章呢是在约瑟的这整个故事当中的一段。
And so we want to see how it relates to the stories about Joseph both before and after.
所以我们要看就是在这章之前关于约瑟的故事以及这一章之后关于约瑟的故事把它都串起来。
And then we'd like to see how it fits in the book of Genesis.
然后我们再看呢它在整个创世纪这卷书里是什么作用。
And then in the context of the entire Old Testament.
然后呢我们再放大到整个旧约这个大的范畴里看它起到的作用。
So we have this story in chapter 39 of Genesis.
好我们现在来看创世纪39章的这个故事。
And it says, we'll read the whole chapter.
我们把整个这一章都读一遍啊。
And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from time that he made him overseer of his house over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a good person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master was not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he has into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me except for you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, day after day, that he hearkened not to her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house with him. And she caught him by the garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled, that she called unto the men of the house and spoke unto them, saying, See, he hath brought this Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spoke unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which you have brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake to him, saying, After this manner did thy servants to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper.
39章1到23节，约瑟被带下埃及去，有一个埃及人是法老的内臣，护卫长波提乏从那些带他下来的以实玛利人手里手下买了他去。约瑟住在他主人埃及人的家中，耶和华与他同在，他就百事顺利。他主人见耶和华与他同在，又见耶和华使他手里所办的尽都顺利，约瑟就在主人眼前蒙恩，伺候他主人，并且主人派他管理家务，把一切所有的都交在他手里。自从主人派约瑟管理家务和他一切所有的，耶和华就因约瑟的缘故赐福于那埃及人的家，凡家里和田间一切所有的都蒙耶和华赐福。波提乏将一切所有的都交在 约瑟的手中，除了自己所吃的饭，别的事一概不知。约瑟原来秀雅俊美，这事以后，约瑟主人的妻以目送情给约瑟说，您与我同寝吧。约瑟不从，对他主人的妻说，看哪，一切家务我主人都不知道，他把所有的都交在我手里，在这家里没有比我大的，并且他没有留下一样不交给我，只留下了你，因为你是他的妻子，我怎能做这大恶得罪神呢？后来他天天和约瑟说，约瑟却不听从他，不与他同寝，也不和他在一处。有一天约瑟进屋里去办事，家中人没有一个在那屋里，妇人就拉住他的衣裳说，你与我同寝吧。约瑟把衣裳丢在妇人手里，跑到外面去了。妇人看见约瑟把衣裳丢在他手里跑出去了，就叫了家里的人来，对他们说，你们看，他带了一个希伯来人进入我们家里，要戏弄我们。他到我这里来要与我同寝，我就大声喊叫，他听见我放声喊起来，就把衣裳丢在我这里，跑到外边去了。妇人把约瑟的衣裳摆在自己那里，等着他主人回家，就对他如此如此说，你所带到我们这里的那希伯来仆人进来要戏弄我，我放声喊起来，他就把衣裳丢在我这里跑出去了。约瑟的主人听见他妻子对他所说的话说，你的仆人如此如此待我，他就生气，把约瑟下在监里，就是王的囚犯被囚的地方。于是约瑟在那里坐监，但耶和华与约瑟同在，向他施恩，使他在私欲的眼前蒙恩，私欲就把监里所有的囚犯都交在约瑟的手下，他们在那里所办的事都是经他的手，凡在约瑟手下的事，私欲一概不查，因为耶和华与约瑟同在，耶和华使他所做的尽都顺利。
Thank you, Yanling.
Welcome.
This is a strange story.
这是一个很奇怪的故事。
It doesn't seem fair.
看起来也挺不公平的。
But God had a reason for it, and we'd like to take a look at it this evening.
但是神这样许可这件事，他有他的理由，我们今天晚上就来看一下。
So one of the things we noticed as we read through that was Joseph was favored with God.
那我们刚才读到呢，注意到一点，他说约瑟在耶和华眼前蒙恩。
We see that everything he did prospered because God made it prosper.
还有呢，我们读到就是因为耶和华使他在他的万事都顺利，他所做的一切都顺利。
And we also in this story will see the integrity of Joseph.
我们也看到在这个故事里看到这个约瑟的正直啊。
How even though he was trusted with everything,He didn't cheat his master out of anything.
虽然他的主人把一切都信任他交给他，但是他却不欺瞒，不欺骗他的主人。
He was always humble.
他总是很谦卑。
And a broken and a contrite heart, the Lord cannot resist.
圣经说，忧伤痛悔的心啊，神并不必不轻看。
And so we read this story about how the master's wife wanted to be with Joseph, and Joseph refused every time.
所以我们在这个故事里看到这个主人的妻子啊，多次想与约瑟同寝，但约瑟每一次都拒绝了他。
And at the end of this, in the middle of the story, she's trying to get him, and she grabs his coat, and Joseph flees and leaves his coat behind.
在这个故事中间呢，我们读到这个波提乏的妻子想要抓住约瑟，然后抓住他的衣服，约瑟就把他的衣服丢下，自己跑到外边去了。
And leaving that coat behind was evidence that he was there.
但是留下这件衣服啊，就是证明他在当时在场的一个证据。
And when we read through the story of Joseph, it's interesting how clothing often relates to the story.
当我们读约瑟的故事呢，我们会注意到一点有趣的现象，就是他的一生。很多时候跟这个衣服有关系。
In chapter 37 and verse 3,
在这个创世纪的37章的三节。
It says, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a special coat of many colors.
以色列原来爱约瑟。过于爱他的众子，因为约瑟是他年老生的，他给约瑟做了一件彩衣。
And so, because of that coat, verse 4 says his brothers were very jealous and they hated him.
正是因为这件彩衣呢，第四节里就说到他的哥哥呢就恨约瑟，很嫉妒他。
Later in the chapter, they steal Joseph's coat.
在这个故事的后面呢，他们几个哥哥呢，把他的衣服给剥了，就是这个彩衣给偷过来。
When they sold Joseph as a slave.
就是当他们把这个约瑟卖做奴隶的时候。
And that coat was used as, they put blood on that coat, and that coat was used as evidence to say that Joseph was probably dead.
然后呢，他们哥哥们呢就把这个血涂在这个衣服上，然后把这个衣服呢交给他的爸爸，作为证据，证明这个约瑟已经被野兽撕烂，他死了。
And that's what it says in verse 31 of chapter 37.
那就是在37章的31节里面写到。
And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood, and they sent the coat of many colors.And they brought it to their father and said, We have found this. Know now whether it be your son's coat or not. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt torn in pieces.
31-33节，他们宰了一只公山羊，把约瑟的那件彩衣染了血，打发人送到他们的父亲那里，说，我们捡了这个，请认一认，是你儿子的外衣不是？他认得就说这是我儿子的外衣有恶兽把他吃了约瑟被撕碎了
So it's interesting that in the beginning it's used as evidence of the father's love.
所以很有趣一开始这个彩衣呢是用来这个显明这个父亲对他的爱的。
Later that same coat was used as evidence of his death.
但是后面的这个衣服呢这个彩衣就用来证明他已经死了。
In chapter 39, it was used as evidence that Joseph was bad.
然后在这个39节呢他的衣服呢又被证明呢是他是一个坏人的作为这个证据。
And then he was thrown in jail for something he didn't do.
然后他因为他就被冤枉了因为他没有做的事情被扔到了监狱里面。
And when he was in jail, we were reading, he found favor and everything he did prospered.
然后在监狱里呢我们又读到就是这个他在这个私欲的面前蒙恩他一切所做的尽都顺利。
And then in chapter 41, after being in jail for 2 years, the Pharaoh has a dream.
然后到这个41节里面就是他解梦了那个 事情过了两年以后，法老就做了一个梦。
And he couldn't get his dream interpreted until they remembered Joseph in prison.
因为没有人能够解法老这个梦，所以这个那叫什么？这个九正就跟法老想就想起了这个约瑟。
And when Joseph was brought out of prison in verse 14 of chapter 41, it says, Then Pharaoh sent and called to Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his clothes and came in unto Pharaoh.
然后我们看这个41章的14节啊。法老随即差人去招约瑟，他们便急忙带他出监，他就剃头刮脸换衣裳进到法老面前。又提到衣裳。
And so we see him again with a new clothes put on.
在这里面我们看到他又换了一件新衣服。
And that was an evidence that he could go into Pharaoh's presence.
那这个衣服呢，就是证明他现在可以来到法老的面前了。
And after he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, in verse 42, it says, And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it in Joseph's hand and arrayed him in clothing of fine linen. And he put a gold chain about his neck and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt.
然后当约瑟给法老解完梦以后呢，然后我们就读到这个41章的42节，法老就摘下手上打印的戒指戴在约瑟的手上，给他穿上细麻衣，把金链戴在他的颈项上，又叫约瑟坐他的副车，喝道的在前呼喊说，呼叫说跪下，这样法老派他治理埃及全地。
And this time he was clothed in clothing that gave him authority.
那这一次呢，他穿的这个衣服啊，是标明他被赐予了权柄。
It wasn't that he was just fit for being in Pharaoh's presence. Now he was fit for being have that authority.
那他原来穿的这个衣服呢，是适合去见法老的。现在他穿的这件衣服呢，证明呢他是有权柄的。
And again, it's an evidence. That he has authority, that fine white linen.
而且这个细麻衣呢，也是一个他有权柄的一个证明证据。
Well, during this time when the dream of Pharaoh and the interpretation of the dream were coming true, there was a famine back in the land of Canaan.
然后接下去呢，就讲这个法老这个梦啊，就在现实中实现了，在埃及呢。先是七个丰年，后来就有了灾年，在迦南地也有了这个饥荒。
And Joseph's brothers, which had sold him into slavery, which had betrayed him, which had been not loyal to him, which cheated him, were come to get food.
然后那些曾经欺骗了他、背叛了他、卖了他的。那些哥哥们啊，现在要到埃及来买粮了。
And as a evidence again that Joseph held nothing against them in chapter 45 and verse 22, it says, To all them he gave each a change of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothes.
然后呢在这个45章的22节啊，也证明这个约瑟呢并没有记恨他的哥哥们，他说又给他们个人一套衣服，唯独给便雅米300银子五套衣服。
Again, it's an evidence of their acceptation.
所以这一次这个衣服呢又代表证明了就约瑟对他的哥哥们的接纳。
In the New Testament, we read things like, put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
在新约里呢，我们读到我们要披戴耶稣，穿上耶稣。
It's an evidence that you are saved.
那这个穿上耶稣呢，是你得救的一个证据。
it tells us to put on a garment of praise.
我们要披上这个赞美的衣服。
When we praise the Lord, it is an evidence that we're saved.
所以当我们赞美主的时候呢，也是我们得救的一个证据。
And so it's interesting how the idea of clothing being an evidence flows through Joseph's story.
所以我们看到这个有趣的现象，就是在约瑟的整个这个一生的故事里面，这个衣服呢是不断的作为各种事情的证据。
But that's not the only thing we should notice.
但是这不是我们应该注意的唯一的事情。
In the very first verse we read in chapter 39, verse 1, it says they brought Joseph to Egypt.
我们看这个39章的一节里面就提到约瑟被带下埃及去。
And later on, they not only brought Joseph to Egypt, but after the famine, they brought Joseph's family to Egypt.
后来呢，不仅约瑟被带到了埃及去，是这约瑟的整个一家人呢，都下了埃及。
Why were they in Egypt?
为什么他们要在埃及呢？
When we read the stories around it, if we were to read chapter 46 of Genesis,
如果我们读它前后的这个故事，比如说读创世纪的46章，
in verses 33 and 34,
33和34节，
it says, and it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what's your occupation? You will say, your servant's trade has been with cattle from our youth, even now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every sheep is an abomination to the
Egyptians. 嗯，三十三和三十四节啊，等法老召你们的时候，问你们说你们以何事为业？你们要说，你的仆人从幼年直到如今都以养牲畜为业，连我们的祖宗也都以此为业。这样你们可以住在歌山地，因为凡牧羊的都被埃及人所厌恶。
So I suppose the question we would ask is, why did God take them to Egypt?
所以我们可能会都问的一个问题就是，为什么神要把他们带到埃及去呢？
Especially when the Egyptians hated shepherds, which was the occupation of Joseph's family.
特别是埃及人他是恨恶这个牧羊的，而这个雅各的一家呢，都是约瑟的一家人都是牧羊的。
And so part of what they said here is that so that we can live in the land of Goshen.
那部分的原因是说，他们这样他们可以住在歌山地，
which is on the east side of the Nile River.
这是在这个尼罗河的东边。
It's a very fertile place that's very good for farming.
这是非常肥沃的一片土地啊，特别是。
But that still doesn't explain everything.
但是这还是不能解决我们所有的疑问。
You see, the family of Joseph had a big problem.
还有我们要注意到，就是约瑟的这个家庭里面有一个很大的问题。
And Israelites all through the Bible have had this same problem.
整个以色列人呢，在整本圣经里都有这样的一个问题。Israelites
like to have spouses that are not Israelites.
那就是以色列人呢，总是会想去娶不是以色列的妻子，就是外邦的妻子。They
would marry with the Canaanites very easily.
他们很容易就去娶了迦南的妇人做妻子了。
And that might not seem like such a bad thing, except God said, don't do it.
那这个，如果不是神说不要这样做的话，看起来并没有什么太大的问题。You
see, God made a promise to Abraham back in chapter 12.
但是问题是神曾经给亚伯拉罕, 有过应许。那我们现在回到创世纪的22章往前。
He actually made three promises to Abraham in chapter 12.
12章不是22章。在12章里面神其实是给亚伯拉罕了三个应许。
It says in verses 1 to 3, Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless them and curse them that curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
一到三节，十二章一到三节，耶和华对亚伯兰说：“你要离开本地本族富家，往我所要指示你的地去。我必叫你成为大国，我必赐福给你，叫你的名为大。你也要叫别人得福。为你祝福的，我必赐福于他；那咒诅你的，我必咒诅他。地上的万族都要因你得福。”
The first promise is that he told Abraham he would be the founder of a great nation.
所以第一个神给亚伯拉罕的应许呢，就是他会成为一个大国的奠基者，就是第一个人。
And by the time we get to the end of the book of Genesis, this great nation is only 70 people.
但是一直都到这个创世纪的最后结尾的时候啊，这个所谓的大国也不过才有70个人。
It's not a nation yet.
那时候还不能称为一个国。
It's only a family.
其实就只是一家人而已。
But God took them from Canaan and took them to the fertile land of Goshen in Egypt.
然后神呢就把这一家人呢从迦南带到了那片肥沃的埃及的那戈山地区了。
And in the fertile land of Egypt, where the Egyptians hated them, they prospered.
然后在埃及呢，因为埃及人厌恶他们，然后呢，他们就在这片肥沃的土地上呢开始繁衍了。
And you would understand that because they couldn't intermarry with the Egyptians because the Egyptians hated them, they prospered as a family.
所以大家可以看出啊，就是因为埃及人恨恶他们，所以他们没有办法和埃及人通婚，所以他们就只能在自己这个家族里面呢繁衍。
And because they were in a good land, they were healthy and strong.
而且呢，他们在这片的这个土地特别的肥沃富足，所以他们也非常的健康，非常的强壮。
And they were there for about 430 years.
然后他们在这个歌山地这里一待呀，就是差不多430年。
And during that 400 years,They switched from being a family to being a great nation.
对，经过这430年呢，他们就从一个家族变成了一个国家。
And they could maintain and follow the genealogy.
他们就可以保存了自己这个血脉啊，自己这个家谱是纯净。
So last week, when we were reading at the very end about the genealogy of Jesus,
上个星期呢，我们读了一下这个耶稣的家谱，直到从前到后都读了。
You could follow the genealogy very carefully and easily.
所以你可以很容易的按照这个家谱一点点的往上追溯，都很清楚的。
But had they intermarried with Canaanites?Or with Egyptians, you would never be able to follow that genealogy.
但假设呢，如果他们当时和这个迦南人通婚了，也和这个埃及人通婚的话，你再去找这个家谱就不那么清晰了。
You would never ever have the ability to see who Abraham's seed really was.
然后呢，你就也没有可能能够分辨出到底谁才是真正的亚伯拉罕的后裔了。
But because God took them out of Canaan and brought them to Egypt, through reading in verse 1 of 39.
所以正是因为在39节里面提到先是把约瑟带到埃及去啊，就是从此开始呢神就把整个以色列人先带到了埃及去。
God put them in a situation where they would not be able to intermarry.
所以神呢就借着这样的一个环境啊，把他们放到了这样的一个环境里，他们是没有办法跟外人通婚了。
And therefore, keeping the evidence of this is the seed of Abraham.
然后呢，他们就可以证明，通过他们家谱证明他们就是亚伯拉罕的后裔。
And because of that, we can follow the line of the Messiah.
正是因为如此呢，我们才能够找到这个弥赛亚他的这个出生的这一条血脉。
But had they been intermarrying with the Canaanites or with the Egyptians, that wouldn't happen.
那如果他们和这个迦南人和埃及人通婚了以后呢，那就这件事情变成不可能了。
So we see this interesting thing where when Joseph comes in and the Israelites come in, they're just a family.
所以这个事情很有意思啊，就是当约瑟先到埃及去，然后后来他们一家到埃及去的时候，当时只是一家人。
And when we get to the book of Exodus, the next book, they're no longer just a family, but they're a great nation.
等到出埃及记的时候啊，就是这一章的这一卷书的后面一卷书呢，一开头我们看到就不是一家人了，而是一个伟大的民族了。
And how God in his wisdom was doing these things and allowing things to happen.
所以神就是在他的智慧中啊，才安排了这些事情，许可这些事情发生的。
As he fulfills his promise to Abraham.
为的是他要应验呢，像亚伯拉罕所许下的诺言呢。
You know, while Joseph was in charge,In Egypt, he saved the world from famine.
而且约瑟当他在埃及掌权的时候啊，他整个是他等于是救了整个当时的人类啊，免于这个饥荒的死亡。
His brothers had meant it for evil when they sold him as a slave.
所以当他的哥哥们把他卖作奴隶的时候呢，他们的本意是恶的。
But in chapter 50 and verse 20,
我们看创世纪的五十章的二十节啊。
Joseph says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive.
从前你们的意思是要害我，但神的意思原是好的，要保全许多人的性命，成就今日的光景。
And at the same time that God was preserving the seed of Abraham, he was also preserving and saving the lives of many people.
所以神在保留了亚伯拉罕的这个纯正的后裔血脉的同时呢，他也救了很多当时地上的人的性命。
And it's very eye-opening to see how all these things relate to the stories before them and then after them.
所以这个真的帮助我们能够打开眼界啊，能看到这一个故事里面的和它的前后的很多的事情之间是怎么串联起来的。
And so that's another example of reading the story in the context of the stories around it and the books that surround it.
所以这个是我们用的另外一个第二个例子啊，来给大家示范一下，就是怎么样用这个某一个故事的前前后后的故事，甚至他所在的这卷书，还有甚至他所在的整个的旧约之间是怎么相互联系、相互作用的。
You might think that this is a difficult thing to do to remember all the stories.
你可能会觉得有点难呢，记住这些故事，把这些都记住，串起来是很难的一件事。
And it may be at first, no, or sorry, it will be difficult at first.
但是当你第一次读的时候呢，是有点难的。
But the more you read, and the more you enjoy, and the more you read, and the more you enjoy reading scriptures, you start remembering all these things in your mind, in your memory.
但是你不断的读，不断的去享受这个圣经，不断的更多的一遍遍去读的话呢，你在脑子里就会把这些事情都记住了。
And as you pray to God and ask Him for wisdom to help you understand how these stories relate to one another, He blesses you.
而且当你祷告求主能够帮助你能够把这些不同的故事前前后后故事都串起来合在一起去整理解的时候，你求主帮助你的时候呢，他就会帮助你看见。
And so just keep on reading the Bible.
所以就是要持续的读经。
And little by little, these connections will make more and more sense.
那你持续读经，渐渐的呢，这些彼此之间的联系呢，就开始形成了，你就开始明白了。
I've been reading the Bible now for over 30 years.
那我读圣经呢，已经超过30年了。
And I still look forward to reading it again, and the Lord shows me something a little bit different.
但是我依然期待啊，我再一次读圣经的时候，神还能给我启示一些不同的新的东西。
That thing that I never noticed before, now He brings it to my attention.
那就是我以前从来没有注意到的，那现在他打开我的眼睛，让我注意到了。
And God encourages me, saying, "There you go, another golden nugget from the scriptures that you can put in your heart."
然后神就是通过这样来鼓励我的。他说：“你看，你又从这个圣经里面挖出了一块金子，让我的心里非常的喜乐。”
And so, just keep reading.
所以要就是要持续的读经。
So that was another example of reading in.With the literary context of the Bible.
所以呢，这是我们举的另外一个第二个例子啊，来讲解这个文学上的上下文，怎么去用这个文学的上下文来帮助大家理解圣经。
We'd like to go on now and look at the cultural context.
那我们今天呢要继续往下讲，讲这个文化上的上下文背景。
Because there are some things in culture that.Being here in Canada or being in China or being in the Bahamas is different from being in the land of Israel during the times that the Bible was written.
因为不管是我们在加拿大的文化，还是在中国的文化，还是在巴哈马的文化，总有和这个在以色列这块土地，而且是在圣经写作的那个年代，当时他们那个文化不同的地方。
And so we'd like to take a look and see how culture affects our understanding of a story.
所以我们要看看就是这个文化的因素啊，它的这个成分是怎么影响我们理解圣经的。
We'll start with a simple one.
我们先从一个简单的例子开始。
And hopefully it's quick.
希望这个例子能讲得快一点。
We'd like to start with thinking aboutTwo or three witnesses.
我们先看看就是圣经讲到的两到三个见证人这件事情。
So in the Bible, we have this rule, and it's given in Deuteronomy chapter 19.
那圣经里给我们这个原则呢，是在申命记的十九章。
And in verse 15,
十五节
it says,One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sins, for at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established.
申命记十九章的十五节啊，人无论犯什么罪，做什么恶，不可凭一个人的口做见证，总要凭两三个人的口做见证才可定案。
And so,That's part of culture.
这也是文化的一部分。
In some cultures, it's very easy to accuse somebody of doing something.
那在有些文化当中呢，你去指责定罪一个人呢是很容易的。
And it's in a situation where this person says something and the other person says, no, that didn't happen.
但是有些时候呢，有一个人说了发生这件事，那另外一个人说不，我没有发生这件事。
And it's very hard to tell who's telling the truth.
那这个时候呢，你就很难分辨到底谁说的是真话。
And so God made a rule about it.
所以神呢，就针对这种情况呢，制定了一个规则。
A rule for his people.
或者说为他的属他的民以色列民族制定了一个规则。
Jesus says the same rule in Matthew chapter 16 or 18.
耶稣呢在马太福音的十八章里面呢也提到了这个同样的原则。
Where in verse 16 it says, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established.
马太的十八章十六节，他若不听，你就另外带一两个人同去，要凭两三个人的口做见证，句句都可定准。
And so, you just can't make wild accusations. They have to be able to be backed up with evidence.
这也就是说呢，你不可以随便信口雌黄的去定一个人的罪，你总要是有靠证据的，要拿证据出来的。
Now, with that kind of culture in our mind, let's read a story in John chapter 8.
我们脑子要记得哈，这个两三个人做证人的这个文化背景，然后我们再读一个故事，就是约翰福音的which chapter?
8.
八章，约翰的八章。
And we're going to read this story starting in verse 2.
我们从这个二节开始读啊。
And early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such a woman or such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And he stooped again down to the ground and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee, go. And sin no more.
二节到十一节啊，清早又回到殿里，众百姓都到他那里去，他就坐下教训他们。文士和法利赛人带着一个行淫时被拿的妇人来，叫他站在当中，就对耶稣说：“夫子，这妇人是正行淫时之时被拿的。摩西在律法上吩咐我们，把这样的妇人用石头打死。你说该把他怎么样呢？”他们说这话，乃试探耶稣，要得着告他的把柄。耶稣却弯着腰用指头在地上画字，他们还是不住地问他，耶稣就直起腰来对他们说，你们中间谁是没有罪的，谁就可以先拿石头打他。于是又弯着腰用指头在地上画字，他们听见这话，就从老到少一个一个的都出去了，只剩下耶稣一人，还有那妇人仍然站在当中。耶稣就直起腰来对他说，妇人，那些人在哪里呢？没有人定你的罪吗？他说，主啊，没有。耶稣说，我也不定你的罪，去吧，从此不要再犯罪了。
Thank you. Jesus is teaching there, and they bring to her this woman who was caught in adultery.
那耶稣正在教导众人的时候呢，他们就带了一个在行淫时被抓住的妇人来了。
And they wanted to see if Jesus what he would do with her.
他们想看耶稣怎么来处理这个女人。
It says that they wanted to trap him.
这里面说呢，他们是要试探耶稣的，要得着告他的把柄的。
You see, they thought that if they could get him to say, well, then stone her, then Jesus would no longer be a friend of sinners.
那如果耶稣说用石头打死他，那这样耶稣就再也不能被称为是罪人的朋友了。
And then they thought, and if he answered, well, let her just go then to be a friend of sinners. But if he just let her go, then he wouldn't be following the law of Moses.
那反过来，如果耶稣呢，作为 他想做这罪人的朋友，然后就让这个女人这样就走了的话，那他们就会指责耶稣没有遵从摩西的律法。
And so they thought they had Jesus trapped.
那觉得哦，这下他把这个耶稣难住了。
That either way he would be discredited.
那不管他做出了哪一种反应呢，那他都名誉都会受损了。
But Jesus is much smarter than everybody.
但是耶稣可比任何人都聪明多了。
The Bible even says the foolishness of God is smarter than the wisdom of men.
那圣经讲到神的愚拙啊，比人的智慧还要聪明。
And Jesus responded, "He who is without sin cast the first stone."
然后耶稣的回答是说，你们中间谁是没有罪的，就可以先拿石头打他。
And nobody could throw a stone.
然后没有一个人能够扔出去石头了。
And they went out one by one from the oldest to the youngest.
然后他们就从老到少一个一个的出去了。
And then she was left alone with Jesus.
然后就只剩下那个妇人和耶稣在那里了。
And Jesus says, "Did nobody condemn you?"
然后耶稣说，没有人来定你的罪了吗？
And she said, "No, no one."
然后妇人说，没有，没有了。
And Jesus said, "Well, neither do I condemn thee."
然后耶稣说，那我也不定你的罪。
You see, Jesus could have cast the stone.
但是大家要知道，耶稣是可以扔石头的。
Because he was without sin.
因为他没有罪。
But he didn't.
但是他没有扔。
He didn't condemn her.
他没有定他的罪。
Because you see, there was only Jesus there.
因为大家看到，因为只有耶稣在那里。
And you couldn't condemn somebody unless there were two or three witnesses.
因为按照那个原则啊，你要定一个人的罪，至少要有两三个人做见证。
So we see Jesus still even fulfilling the laws of Moses even here.
所以即使在这一点上，耶稣也在遵从摩西的律法。
But and it's a marvelous thing that he's even following that cultural context of that law for the people of God.
所以从这个例子我们看到，耶稣呢也是在按照这个律法的这个文化背景在行事的。
And so that's a quick story about culture.
这是我们讲到这个文化的这个上下文联系的一个小例子。
And there are lots of stories about culture in the scriptures.
然后关于这个文化的背景呢，在圣经里有很多的故事。
Once they accused Jesus and his disciples of not washing their hands.
那有一次呢，这犹太人呢，这个控告耶稣的门徒没有洗手。
Before they ate.
在吃饭之前没有洗手。
And that just wasn't a good thing.
他们认为这不对，不是个好事情。
Now, with this virus, this pandemic, we're all washing our hands more.
那是因为现在这个疫情期间呢，我们总是常常的洗手。
It's very important for hygiene to wash your hands, and so we understand that.
因为我们明白啊，就洗手，保持手的卫生是非常重要的。
But the Jewish people were even smarter than they are today about washing our hands.
但这犹太人呢，甚至比我们今天啊，知道要洗手的这个道理还要聪明。
Have you ever seen how a surgeon washes his or her hands?
大家有没有看到外科医生是怎么洗手的？
That they scrub them from here and they all go all the way down to the elbows, always holding their hands like this and scrubbing.
然后呢，他们洗手的时候都要把这个手举起来啊，然后从手指尖一直洗到这个胳膊肘这里，整个这个都要洗到，而且手一直这样竖着举着。
And running the water from the fingers down to the elbows.
然后让这个水啊从这个手指一直往下流，流到这个 肘部。
It was the Jewish people that invented that way to wash their hands.
那犹太人呢，他们洗手时候就发明了这个方法。
It prevented infections, it prevented disease, and just washing your hands that way was an extraordinary thing that the Jewish ceremony that the Jewish people went through.
所以当他们在这个做宗教礼仪的时候，又是这样洗手的啊，这个他这个方法呢，是完全可以洗干净，避免这个细菌和这个其他病菌的这个粘在手上感染，留在手上。
And that would be another example of a cultural context that we would read something in.
那我们再读一点关于这个文化，这个上下文的这个点的故事哈。
We might think of the story of the Last Supper.
然后我们可以读这个最后的晚餐的这个故事。
Where Jesus was sitting at the table for Passover with his disciples.
耶稣呢和他的门徒一起坐在桌上啊，准备这个庆祝逾越节了。
And we read that Jesus took the sop and dipped it and handed it and offered it to Judas Iscariot.
那我们在圣经里读到，耶稣呢拿了一块饼啊，蘸了蘸，然后把它递给这个背叛他的那个犹大。
And in the cultural context of that story, when you offer the sop to somebody, that's also, an offering of friendship.
那按照犹太人的这个文化呢，这个如果你把一个蘸的肉汁的饼递给一个人呢，就是表示和他是朋友关系。
And Jesus was offering his sincere friendship to the man he knew was going to betray him.
所以在这里呢，耶稣呢是真诚的，把这个他的这个友谊啊，给了这个要卖他的那个犹大。
Giving Judas one opportunity more to repent and change his mind.
其实也就是给犹大再一次的机会，让他能够改变主意，让他能够悔改。
But Judah made his personal decision that he would not be a friend of Jesus.
但是犹大呢，做了他个人的一个决定，就是他不愿意成为，他不想成为这个耶稣的朋友。
And so that's another example of a cultural context. The dipping of the sop was an offering of friendship.
所以这又是一个另外一个文化背景的一个例子啊，就是当一个人吃饭的时候蘸一点饼递给一个人呢，其实就是要表达跟他之间的这个友谊的关系。
It wasn't that it was never offered to Judas. It's not that Jesus never offered his friendship to Judas.
Jesus did offer his friendship
to Judas. Yes. And that's why so Judas had the opportunity to be Jesus' friend, but he chose not to.
明白了，就是犹大呢，就是最终他也没有得着耶稣的这个友谊，因为他自己选择不要做，他放弃这个机会，他选择不要做耶稣的朋友。
Some people today teach that God doesn't offer his friendship to everybody.
那今天呢，有人教导说，那神并不是把他的友谊啊提供给每一个人了。
Especially to people who would betray God.
他说特别是不会提供给那些要会背叛神的那些人。
Or evil people.
或者说那些邪恶的人。
But we see here that Jesus offered his sincere friendship to Judas, and Judas personally rejected it.
但是在这个故事里面，我们看到耶稣是真诚的把他的友谊提供给犹大，但是犹大他自己做了一个决定，他不要。
That's part of the cultural context.
所以这也是我们讲的这个文化的这个上下文的背景。
We'd like to think about the cultural context of anointing.
另外呢，我们谈谈在这个文化的这个背景下，讲讲这个受膏啊，就是膏抹。
in the Bible, we read about anointings for various reasons.
在圣经里面我们读到就是有很多的原因都会涉及到这个受膏啊，就是因为很多原因会受被膏抹。
There were three big reasons that people were anointed.
所以有三个大类啊，就大类的原因就是人为什么会受膏。
And I suppose these are all special people.
而且呢这些都涉及到一些特别的人。
Prophets and priests and kings were all anointed.
就是先知、祭司和君王，他们都是受膏的。
They were anointed with oil to symbolize a very profound spiritual reality.
他们用油来膏他们啊，是代表一个非常深刻的属灵的事实。
They were anointed.With oil to show that God's favor was upon them.
用油膏他们表明神的恩惠啊临到他们了。
Look in Psalm chapter 20 and verse 6.
我们看诗篇的二十篇的六节。
Psalm chapter 20 verse 6.We read here, Now know I that the Lord saves his anointed, he will hear him from his holy heaven.
现在我知道耶和华救护他的受膏者必从他的圣天上应允他。
And so there was something special about the Lord's anointed.
所以这个耶和华的受膏者是有些特殊之处的。
In 1 Samuel chapter 16,
在撒母耳记上的十六章
we see an example of a king being anointed.
这里面我们看到一个例子，就是一个王被膏抹了。
And in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 16,
在撒母耳记上的十六章的三节。
It says, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name to you.
你要请耶西来吃祭肉，我就指示你所当行的事，我所指给你的人，你要膏他。
And when we read the rest of the story, we find out that David was anointed to be king instead of Saul.
然后我们往下读这个故事的下文呢，我们就知道是大卫受膏成为王，要取代扫罗了。
And so when we get to verse 13,
我们看了十三节，往下看十三节。
It says, And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
撒母耳就用脚里的膏油在他柱胸中膏了他，从这日起耶和华的灵就大大感动大卫，撒母耳起身回拉玛去了。
And so we see a king anointed.
所以我们在这里看到是一个君王被膏抹了。
Before David was anointed, we read about someone else being anointed. We read about a high priest being anointed.
在大卫受膏之前呢，我们读到了一个大祭司被膏抹。
In Exodus chapter 28,
在出埃及记的二十八章
，and verse 41,
四十一节。
And you shall put them upon Aaron your brother and his sons with him, and thou shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them.That they may minister unto me in the priest's office.
要把这些给你的哥哥亚伦和他的儿子穿戴，又要膏他们，将他们分别为圣，好给我供祭司的职分。
And so we see the priest being anointed.
所以在这里面呢，我们看到是祭司被膏抹。
We see a prophet being anointed in 1 Kings chapter 19.
我们在列王记上的十九章。我们看到的是 先知被高抹。
In 1 Kings 19 and verse 16.
16节，列王记上19章的16节。
And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel Meolah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in your room.
又高宁氏的孙子耶户做以色列王，并高亚伯米和拉人沙法的儿子以利沙做先知接续你。
So in this verse, we see both a king and a prophet being anointed.
在这一节里面，既有王受膏，又有先知受膏。
And so those were three important people who were anointed with oil.
所以你看，这里有三类人都很重要，他们都是受被油膏的。
It's interesting that we would say the word Christ. Or Messiah.
还有就是基督或者说弥赛亚这个词本身。
The word Christ or Messiah means anointed one.
基督或者弥赛亚这个词本身的意思呢就是受膏者。
Jesus was God's prophet.
耶稣呢是神的先知。
In Deuteronomy 18, there's a promise made in verse 15.
Deuteronomy 18:15.
Says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. This is the prophet that's like Moses.
耶和华你的神要从你们弟兄中间给你兴起一位先知像我，你们要听从他。所以这个就是像摩西一样的先知。
In Acts chapter 7,
在使徒行传的七章。
And speaking about the Lord Jesus in verse 37, we read,
在七节里面讲到基督。
Acts chapter 7 verse 37 says, this is that Moses which said to the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the living oracles to give to us, to whom our fathers would not obey but thrust him from them. In their hearts, they turned back again into Egypt.
使徒行传的七章三十七到三十九节啊，那曾对以色列人说，神要从你们弟兄中间给你们兴起一位先知像我的，就是这位摩西。这人曾在旷野会中和西乃山上与那对他说话的天使同在，又与我们的祖宗同在，并且领受活泼的圣言传给我们。我们的祖宗不肯听从，反弃绝他，心里归向埃及。
Jesus was the prophet like Moses.
所以这里面说的像摩西一样的先知啊，就是耶稣。
In John chapter 1 it says, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ.
在约翰福音的一章里面讲的是律法本是借着摩西传的，但恩典和真理都是由耶稣基督来的。
Jesus, the anointed one.
所以耶稣就是那受膏者。
Because that's what Christ means.
这就是这个基督这个词本身的意思。
In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we read, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he has built a house that has more honor than the house.
希伯来书的三章一到三节。 同蒙天召的圣洁弟兄啊，你们应当思想我们所认为使者为大祭司的耶稣，他为那设立他的敬忠，如同摩西在神的全家敬忠一样，他比摩西算是更配多得荣耀，好像建造房屋的比房屋更尊荣。
Here in verse we're saying that he's better than Moses.
这里面我们看到他说他比摩西还要好。
That prophet like Moses.
像摩西一样的先知，但是还要比摩西更好。
But we also read in verse 1 that he's our high priest.
然后在第一节里面我还读到他也是我们的大祭司。
Another reason to be anointed.
所以大祭司呢是另外一个理由他被高的原因了。
Jesus was also God's king.
另外耶稣也是神的王。
In Matthew chapter 1.
在马太的一章。
We have the genealogy of the king.
这里面呢是王的家谱。
And we read about the king being all through here.
这里面要从上到下。
Because a king needs to be born to be king.
读的都是王啊，因为你只有是王所生的，你才能有资格做王。
And it's important that we know that.
所以我们知道这一点是很重要的。
And in this genealogy, in verse 6, it says, And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon.
在第六节里啊，一章六节，耶西生大卫王，大卫从乌利亚的妻子生所罗门。
And so we see it very, very clearly that he was born to be king.
所以按照这个家谱呢，我们看得很清楚，他是生来就是做王的。
If we were to read back in 1 Samuel chapter 7, we would see that, 2 Samuel chapter 7, we would see that God made a special promise to David that the scepter would never depart from his family.
然后我们在撒母耳记下的七章里面读到神给了大卫一个特别的应许啊，就是王位不会离开他们家。
In Hebrews chapter 9, or sorry, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 19, we see that Jesus is the King of Kings.
我们在启示录的十九章的十九节里面读到耶稣是万王之王啊，万主之主。
I think it was actually verse 16, not verse 19.
对，不是19节，是16节，启示录的19章16节，耶稣是万王之王。
And so we see this custom of anointing people with oil from the Old Testament that they would anoint prophets, they would anoint priests, and they would anoint kings.
所以我们在旧约里面看到这个关于受膏的这个文化的传统这个习俗，就是先知会受膏，祭司会受膏，王会受膏。
And so we see that it is an important thing in scripture used to identify certain people.
所以受膏呢是把一些人分别出来，把他们放在一个重要的位置上的一个方式。
But there were other kinds of anointings too.
那除此之外呢，还有其他种类的受膏。
In the famous Psalm 23, we read, He anoints my head with oil.
在诗篇的23篇里面啊，他说 你用油膏了我的头。
Now sometimes we think that this is about him being treated very special, like a prophet, a priest, or a king.
有的时候呢，我们会把这个有的人理解把它归为就第一类啊，就是因为他受膏是把他作为特殊的人对待，特殊到就是祭司、君王或者先知，他因此会受膏。
And in David's life, it was true. He was anointed.
但是 对大卫来说呢，这是对的，他是因为王而受膏了。
But some of the culture also comes into this verse, and oil wasn't only used to anoint prophet, priest, and king, but it was used for other purposes.
但是在根据以色列的文化呢，除了你是给这个特殊的人物，就是祭司、君王、先知受膏以外呢，还有出于其他的目的也会给人受膏的。
Because in the psalm, in the context, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and so the context says, "I'm his sheep."
因为在这个诗篇里面的上下文里面讲的是耶和华是我的牧者，我是耶和华的羊。
And so now we need to think in the context of what a shepherd does with his sheep.
所以我们根据这上下文呢，就脑袋就要想那。牧羊人是怎么对待羊的呢？
And shepherds never ever anoint their sheep to be prophets, priests, or kings.
牧羊人绝对不会给他的羊啊受膏，让这羊成为祭司、先知或者君王。
That would be kind of silly seeing a shepherd anoint his sheep and saying, "This sheep is the king."
那如果一个牧羊人高了一个羊的头，说，哦，这只羊呢就是王了，这个很滑稽这件事情。
So in the culture, what would happen is if a sheep had bugs like fleas, they would anoint the sheep with oil and that would kill the bugs.
那当地的这个做法呢，是如果一个羊呢，它身上长了虱子或者是其他的虫子的时候呢，这牧羊人呢会给它抹上这个油来驱赶这个虫子的。
It's a funny thing to see.
所以这个场面其实是很有意思的。
A nice fluffy sheep, but it isn't fluffy because it's covered with oil and it's sort of matted down and kind of ugly looking.
就是一个本来一个毛茸茸的羊呢，它被那个油抹了以后呢，它就不再毛茸茸了，就是都往下都湿漉漉的往下滴，就看上去不是很干净的样子。
We've done this to dogs in Mexico.
我在墨西哥的时候呢，我的狗我也这样处理过。
Because some of the dogs are just horrible flea-bitten dogs that just don't look very good.
因为有些狗呢，它是被这个虱子啊或什么其他小虫子咬了以后呢，它看上去就不太好了。
And we take used motor oil and we pour it and we anoint the dog with motor oil.
我们就是用那个汽车上那个机油啊。倒在他身上给他抹上。
And it kills all the bugs and the fleas all die.
然后这所有的这些害虫就死了。
And then we wash the dog and slowly his hair grows back.
然后呢我们就把这个狗洗干净，慢慢的他那个毛就重新长回来了。
That's the cultural context of that anointing.
所以这也是关于这个受膏的一个文化背景。
Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees,
当耶稣跟法利赛人说话的时候
and he was saying, when you fast, you should anoint your face with oil.
他说你禁食的时候啊，要抹脸，把你的脸抹上膏油。
So that nobody can tell that you're suffering.
然后不要让人看出来你好像在禁食，在受苦。
It's a beauty treatment.
其实这个其实就是一个美容的措施了。
And it makes your skin to shine.
就让你的脸皮肤会发光。
In Ruth chapter 2, chapter 3, we see Ruth anointing herself with, or using oil to, as a beauty treatment.
然后我们在路德记的三章里面也读到这个路德，他也是沐浴抹膏以后使他自己变得更漂亮，然后去见那个波阿斯的。
In the story of the man who was attacked on the road down to Jericho, we see it being used as a medicinal purposes.
还有在那个好撒玛利亚人的故事，那个人从耶路撒冷下到耶利哥城的路上的时候被强盗所害的时候，那个好撒玛利亚人是用膏膏他是出于这个治疗的目的的。
And so in chapter 10 of Luke in verse 34, the good Samaritan put oil and wine and dressed the wound.
路加福音的10章里面, 就好撒玛利亚人就用, 就把油倒在他的伤口上, 把他这个伤口处理好, 包扎好。
And so when we read about the cultural idea of anointing, that helps our understanding of the scriptures.
所以我们, 在这个大的这个, 当地的文化背景下呢, 去, 明白这个受膏的, 他们的不同的用途呢, 会更帮助我们来解读圣经。
Because sometimes today I hear some people teaching what anointings are, and they don't have very much to do with what the Bible says.
因为今天啊, 我听到人们讲到关于这个受膏这件事情的时候呢, 他们很少去研究这个圣经里面是, 怎么讲这个受膏的。
And when we're learning the Bible, we don't want to learn wrongly what the Bible is teaching. We want to look at the Bible and discover in its cultural context, in its literary context, what it's teaching.
所以当我们研读圣经的时候，我们不希望 得出错误的东西出来， 所以我们总是要 把这个 不管是文学上的上下文， 还是这个 文化的背景 都考虑进去。
And so we want to learn these things. There's the books called The Life and Times of the Messiah, or books from history that teach us these cultural things.
那有一些书啊， 比如说 弥赛亚的一生啊， 等等这样的书， 它会 给你讲一些关于这些文化的背景。
Alfred Edersheim has many good books that we can read, and we learn about some of these cultural things.
他讲了一个 弟兄的名字， 他写了很多关于这个文化的 上下文的背景的这个书， 写了很多这方面的书。
And I apologize, I have no idea if that's available in Chinese or not.
那我很抱歉， 我不知道这书有没有翻译成中文啊。
But if it is, it's a very good investment.
那如果有中文的话呢， 你买一本是非常好的投资。
And that would wrap up our time for this evening.
那我们今天晚上的时间呢， 就差不多了。Next
week, we'd like to look at some of the geography and how that affects our interpretation of the Bible.
那下星期呢， 我们来讲就是这个地理上的背景， 就地理的 环境, 是怎么影响我们的圣经的解读的。
And we'll look and see how smart God is that he even uses the geography to help us to understand what's going on.
所以我们要看看神是多么的 智慧啊， 他甚至使用这地理上的一些常识， 一些知识来帮助我们理解他要告诉我们的真理。
So for now, let's just close in a word of prayer.
那我们现在就做一个结束的祷告。
Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you keep giving us clues in the scriptures.
主啊, 天父, 我们感谢你, 您总是在圣经里给我们一些线索。
We thank you that you can lead us into learning what you want to communicate with us.
主, 我们感谢你, 您总是带领我们, 让我们能够明白你要 跟我们交通的真理。
And so we continue to pray that you help us to understand what your message is to humanity.
所以我们持续地祈求您帮助我们能够明白您要传递给我们的信息。
So that you can use us to share it with the people around us.
这样你就可以使用我们能够把我们所知道的分享给别人。
Help us to understand and help us to take it in.
帮助我们明白也帮助我们领受。
So that we can help others to understand and take it in.
让我们能够去帮助别人明白，帮助他接受。
Especially that how much you loved us and you bore away our sin.
特别是让我们明白你有多么爱我们，你为我们承受了罪。
We thank you for the anointed one.
我们为着受膏者感谢你。
Jesus Christ.
那就是耶稣基督。
our prophet, our priest, and our king.
他是我们的先知、祭司和我们的王。
We bless you this evening in Jesus' name.
我们今天晚上赞美你，奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.